to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the church in Smyrna today. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for your love and your grace towards us. We're thankful, Lord, for our salvation and just everything that's embodied and what encompasses that truth. And Lord, we're grateful that you desire a relationship with us. You desire for us to know your truth. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to teach us truth. And Lord, it's exciting to see how the scriptures are in harmony. And Lord, as we study out Revelation, allow us to have discernment and wisdom and understanding. Allow us to learn from it, to take the good and let it be done in our lives and see where the negatives are and have the wisdom and discernment to not do those things. Well, we're asking that you would just guide and direct us now. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty, Revelation 2, verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and came to life, says these things. Now, this is a very familiar passage. Can you guys think of anywhere else in Scripture where we see the first and the last? Alpha and Omega, all right. What book? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. He does. Excellent. Good. Anywhere else that we see that? He covered it all, but I'm just saying, you know, any specific book? Mm-hmm. No? Nope. But at least you have a direction, right? At least you have a direction. One of the greatest tools you're going to have when you're talking to someone with the Word of God is cross-referencing, right? Cross-referencing. You got to have that. So just think, in the Old Testament, like what Michael was talking about earlier, in Isaiah 44. So that's, well, the Old Testament mentions the Alpha and Omega, first and last. Isaiah 44. I have to encourage you guys, too, that it is God's job to use you for His glory, right? So one thing for myself that I try and do is not look at what I'm not good at and tell God He can't use that, right? So just because of my poor choices when I was younger and how my brain works, doesn't mean that I'm not going to give God every single effort in my ability, trusting in Him to help me memorize Scripture. Does that make sense? Okay, so I don't want to use, I want all my excuses to be what God uses. My excuses. Yeah, I want my excuses to be what God uses, right? I have a hard time remembering things. I just can't remember. Well, what's my brain full of? What's my heart full of? You know, the spiritual things isn't contained in neurology. Spiritual things are contained in the spirit. Now, I get it. Our minds do, you know, slip. Don't get me wrong. But that's God's job, is to perform that miracle to where you can't remember in your own power, and He brings it to you. So anyways, that was all free. Isaiah 44:6, nothing to do with our sermon today or lesson. That tells us here, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Again, it can go on, and it's just a beautiful section of Scripture here. But it's interesting, this is Yahweh, Creator God, right? And Jesus, in Revelation, says, that's who I am. And I love when we see Scripture that points to Christ being God, right? I love it. When I remember like preaching in prison years ago, the inmates were always going around because they want to get out, right? They want to get out of their cell. You don't blame them, you know, because how small their cell is. But so they're going to every religious service because it can't be denied. They have more rights than you do, by the way. They can't be denied. So they go out and they're learning all this false teaching, and then they come to you and go, okay, you're saying this, but what about this, 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 and this? And they're like, they're naming off all these religions. So you know, if you focused all that energy on just studying the Word of God, all that would take care of itself. I understand the Mormons don't believe that Christ is God, but it's undeniable that Christ is God if you just let Scripture speak for itself, right? My problem isn't with the Mormons. My problem is you need to study out the Word of God. And let's let it reveal itself to you. Like here in Isaiah 44:6. And there are a number of verses that we could go over, but anyways. So we see it here in Isaiah. It's also in, I believe it's in 41:4. 41 sounds familiar. I could be wrong. Yeah, 41:4. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning, I am the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He. Now, Alpha and Omega, I think that's in Revelation, right? I'm the Alpha and the Omega, that actual term. I think it's Revelation 20, I think. Actually, we'll go there. Let's find out. Absolutely, because He's God. Yeah. Let's see. What was I going to? The Alpha and Omega? Where is that at? Was it 20? I could be wrong. 21? Okay. Where was that 21? Oh, yeah. He said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Yeah. Absolutely. So there's a handful of verses there that we can cross over. I'm talking about how Christ is the first and the last. All right, back to Revelation chapter 2. I love it when God is talking to this church or the angel, the leader, and some believe it's Polycarp, you know, John's disciple. Some believe that because he was the pastor there at Smyrna. I think it even talks about in the Book of Martyrs, that's where Polycarp died. He was martyred there for the cause of Christ. Has anybody ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs? Oh, that is like top five book you got to read. You have to read the Book of Martyrs. Holy smokes. And it's just a book that covers throughout generations from the first century church on people being martyred for the cause of Christ. And it's actually probably encourage you for what you're about to go into coming up here in the next 4 years. So I would encourage you to read it. Yeah. First and the last, who was dead and came to life. Man, that's, I mean, we should be able to know where that's at, right? He was dead and came to life. What comes to your mind when Christ says, I was dead and came to life? Like, where do you go to automatically? In the Bible. Huh? Gospels, right? When Christ says, I was dead and now I'm alive, I'm going to the Gospels, right? So, anybody have a book they like where it mentions Christ's death and resurrection? Is there like a go-to gospel you go to? Go ahead, Regina. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Oh, yeah, even, I believe, Isaiah 7 through 14, those chapters are pretty much all messianic prophecies as well. And then you get down to the nitty-gritty where it's like, you can't help but know that Isaiah 53 is talking about Jesus. I mean, hello. And Psalm, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's undeniable. It's really cool. But yeah, so you have your go-to, right? Where Christ, the Gospels, where he died. You know, and he says, three times he told the disciples, I am going to die. Christ, again, is a prophet in the Old Testament, right? He's a prophet, priest, and king. And so as a prophet, he's saying, listen, guys, I am going to die, but then 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. He told him that three times. And, you know, it's hard to put yourself in their shoes because we have the complete Word of God. One thing that I try to not do is ever put down an apostle or a disciple. You know, it's kind of one of my pet peeves when I hear preachers do that. Like, oh man, Peter is an idiot. It's speaks too quickly, or this, that, and the other. I don't ever want to do that. For one, I mean, they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, right? They didn't get him until Acts 2. Now they're with Jesus, but there's a lot happening, right? So, and again, if Christ chose these people to follow him, I don't think he made a mistake. So, I don't ever want to try and do that, put someone down in the Bible when you guys might not even know that stuff. Might just be pastor stuff, but anyways. How many of you ever heard a sermon before where they put down the apostles, or they call Peter a name or John a name, or like, come on, you idiot, you know? Like, whoa, I don't know if I would do that, you know? That's just me. I try not to. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, if Christ chose this guy to lead the church to the Jews in the book of Acts to get it going, I think he knows what he's doing. You know? Peter did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't know, right? I mean, yeah, it's crazy to think about. So, who was dead and came to life says these things. So yeah, we don't got to go there. We know, we've read the gospel several times. We know that the gospels is where it covers Christ dying and him raising again, right? And he showed himself, you know, a handful of times. I believe three for sure that I know of, three. He showed himself. So, that's who he is. The only one to ever do it. Right? Only God to ever do it. Isn't that amazing to think about? All those other false gods who people follow by the droves, they've died and they've died. Christ was the only one to say, I'm going to die and I'm going to raise again. And he did it. And it's so cool. Said, yep, that's my God. All right, here's what he says. I know your works. Again, there is a work to be done in the local churches here. And tribulation. So now they're going through some tough times, right? It's tough in this area. Smyrna is about 40 miles north of Ephesus. It actually kind of rivaled Ephesus, to be honest with you. Again, where they were at positionally, they were very wealthy. They were very known in that area. They're like a mini Ephesus, if you will. I mean, very wealthy, full of idolatry. The Jews were there as well, but just... You know, Alexander the Great actually was the one that got that place going and on the map and made it what it was. And so they're about 40 miles north of there. And again, when you see Smyrna, it's, you know, local churches in that area. So not like just the city, but the believers that are around. It's like saying that the letter to those in, you know, Douglas County or Sutherland, like it would encompass all those that are, you know, true churches. Salvation by grace through faith, you know. Yeah. Yeah, there's persecution in all the churches, but, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can be, it's interesting how God allows areas through persecution. They go through the same thing. Some are still fairly wealthy, and some are poor. You know, you see he allows it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did the hand go up back here? No, okay. So he knows their works, so... Even though, which is encouraging, right? Even though they're going through tribulation, a work is still being done. That's good to know. right? That's a good to encourage us. And poverty, but you are rich. So now he's going through poverty here financially, but he's reminding them of their wealth, which is spiritual. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Now these people will be like the folks in Galatia, right? These Judaizers. Satan attacked the church from outside with persecution, right? From the very beginning, Satan worked through the Jews. If you read the first handful of chapters of Acts, who are the ones that hate the Jews from the beginning? It's not Rome. Who is it? Scribes and Pharisees, the high priest, right? Yeah, they're the ones that are telling Peter and John, hey, you can't preach in Jesus' name, man. Like, what's wrong with you? You know? Yeah, it was them. Right? So these legalizing Jews, that's the synagogue of Satan. So then Satan goes from within, right? So here's these Judaizers who will say some of the right things. And they sound the part sometimes. They have the kind of, I mean, even Satan himself, when he's talking, there is some truth in there, right? But that little lie makes it all a lie, correct? Just like in America today, in the Western society, in the world today, there are people that have the Word of God, have a Bible, and couldn't be more lost than lost could be. What a scary thing. Think about that. People have the Word of God and are not born again. Odd, isn't it? Right. Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep, you have to have the Holy Ghost. Like Friday night, in order to worship God the right way, it's a spirit and truth. It must be a spirit. If there's no spirit there, you worship who you don't know who you worship. You can say God all you want to. You're not his child. You ain't worshiping him, right? You're bowing down like you are, but you ain't. I heard a terminology. I thought this was old school. It's still prevalent. A Catholic Christian. And again, I've been deprogrammed, but it's like, oh yeah, the world still thinks Catholics are Christians, you know. And they didn't last very long, did they? True Christians, like in Antioch, they were called Christians first in Antioch because they were all born again, living a godly life. And now it's like a buzzword. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Church you go to? Oh, A, B, C, D. What the? You guys don't believe Christ is God. You guys believe in works to get to heaven. You guys aren't even trusting in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Like, you believe in that. Like, Satan believes that Christ died on the cross. He ain't going to heaven. Right? So, it's interesting. Just the blindness of everything.
Mm-hmm. And you see, like you're saying, like
synagogue of Satan. So these Jews who are claiming to be Jews, but they're not, they're actually committing blasphemy. They're actually the synagogue of Satan. Isn't that interesting? I mean, how hard would that be? I mean, I don't even know how hard. Maybe that might be a wrong term, but just think about, like, Christ is the ultimate Jew. You know? Like, he was the one that called that nation. He was the one that did everything with that nation. He was a perfect Jew. And then to say that they say they're Jews, but they're the synagogue of Satan. Can you imagine that? Like, talking about your kids. Like, hey, they say they're my kids, but they're actually the devil. I mean, how shaking would that be to know that your kids have done this? Like, you're gonna have grace on them and come back to them in the tribulation millennium, right? Knowing what they're doing now. Oh man, it's crazy. All right, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Again, they can pray all they want to. They're not getting delivered from the suffering, okay? Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Now, is God authoring this or is Satan authoring this? Who's the author? Satan. Who's allowing it? God, right? We got to put those two together, right? So when we talk about God being in full control, yes, God is in full control, but he allows sin, right? He allows wicked things to happen. So Satan is the one doing this. God is allowing it. So either way, no matter what God allows, it's really cool what he does here. He says, listen, he's going to throw someone in your prison that you may be tried, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Now, some say that means a short time, because Daniel talks like that. He mentions 10 days with, Daniel himself on food. Some say there were 10 kings that went through, 10 Roman kings that really persecuted the church. Either way, whatever you want to look at, 10 literal days, 10 kings that went through, whether it was Nero, Domitian, and those guys, 8 others, whatever. You know, however you want to translate that, that's up to you. Either way, it does mean a short time. So persecution's coming for a short time, but don't worry, okay, be faithful unto death. So God's encouraging them, Satan's going to throw you into prison, you're going to suffer, tribulation's going to come, and be faithful unto death. Like, I'm going to allow him to kill you. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Good. He's going to allow him to be persecuted and killed. Don't worry. I will give you the crown of life. And some people have crowned that like the martyr's crown. Either way, Christ calls it the crown of life, right? How cool is that? The fact that Christ would give us any rewards as if we deserve them, right? Like, no, God, that's the least I could do, was commit my entire life for you and die for you. Right? I don't need anything. You're going to burn my works and see if it's gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. I don't even deserve that. I'm going to be faithful unto death just because you're worth it. And the fact that he's going to say, you know what, I'm going to give you kind of life. Like, how much more grace can this guy give us? Holy smokes. How much more grace can God bestow upon us? It's amazing. You don't deserve it anyways. It's like the least we could do is live for him and die for him if that's what he wants. And then for me to say, you know what, don't worry. It's going to happen. Be faithful unto death. And when you get here, I'm going to give you a crown of life. Talk about a promise, brother, that you can stand on. Holy smokes. I mean, it's just, you think it can't get any better. All right, I'm going to give you kind of life. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So, again, individual needs to hear. It's addressed to the churches, but the individual needs to hear. As I hear this, now what am I going to do with it? Right now, again, this was written to a literal church at that time. But it doesn't change the fact that you can't apply it to your life today, because it's written to a church, a New Testament, right? So you can say, this can be to us also. You know, if persecution comes, I know where I'm going. I know what church I'm going to. Like, and what we have right now is a persecution, so don't think that we're in it yet. You know, when they start delivering you to prison to be tried before your peers for believing in Christ, like, they're not committing crimes, people. They're not rioting, they're not looting, they're not doing anything wrong. They're law-abiding citizens, but they believe in Jesus Christ. Think about that. They're not in prison for committing a crime. They're in prison for believing in Jesus Christ. Christ is saying, hey, yeah, they're going to kill you. But that your last breath, and you're in my presence, I have something waiting for you. You know, you think about that for a second, we kind of fear like how it's going to happen. But as soon as you get there, it doesn't even matter how I got there. Like, I won't even be thinking about it. I don't even think it'll be a thought in my mind how I got here. I'll just know, man, I'm here. Holy smokes. Romans chapter 5. There's a reason why God allows them. Absolutely, Mel. Amen. Exactly. I agree. Yep, so let him hear. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. What is the second death there? What is the second death? Lake of fire, right? Lake of fire. Now, the person that overcomes, outside of Revelation, do you remember seeing that anywhere else in Scripture? 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. We'll finish this up here real quick. 1 John, I think it's 4. Maybe it's 5. Yeah, it's 5. I'm sorry. 1 John 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. There we go. That's what I got it for. That's what I'll say. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And the victory, here it is, that overcomes the world is our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So every born-again believer is an overcomer. Okay? So every born-again believer will not partake of the second death. Now, that is a promise, okay? So, here's what trips people up. Well, what if? If God promised it to those who are born again, the what-ifs on their lifestyle cancel that out. God is promising to himself that if you trust me as your Savior, no matter how you live your life, whether I agree or not with it, if you trust me as your Savior, you will not go to second death. Make sense? Yeah, second death. Well, actually, we'll go to Revelation 21. Might be in Revelation 20 also. Let me see. Yeah. Yeah, let's go to Revelation 20. Yeah, Revelation 20:10. We'll just do the short version here. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet were. They were tormented day and night forever and ever. I thought I was talking about the second death there. Maybe I was wrong. Anyways, we'll go down to 20 verse 14. Then death and Hades, 20:14. Then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone who's name was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That lake of fire, as you guys said, is the second death. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, some people think, oh, that's great, and he died and rose again. Like, why would you want to die twice? I hear you. Any questions on Smyrna? Great church. Great church. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Lord, we are grateful and thankful for your truth. Allow us, Lord, to take heed to what the scripture says here. Let us have an ear to hear and to know that if persecution does come and we're delivered into prison and they kill us for just believing in Jesus Christ, that we will receive that crown of life. And Lord, how humbling that is. I mean, just the fact that you give us eternal life into your heaven is enough in and of itself. Allow us to be faithful, Lord. Allow us not to fear those who can kill the body, but fear those who have power over body and soul. Lord, just encourage us. Allow us to have hope that even nothing's new. Churches have gone through persecution for years and years and years. And you've led them through it. You've guided them through it. You might not have always delivered them from that. But no matter, Lord, heaven is all of our final destination, no matter how we get there. Whether it's through tribulation and being martyred or living a long life and just a dying of old age. Either way, Lord, we're just thankful that heaven's our home. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.